A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
Now, times certainly seem to have changed over the last 10 or 15 years.
I have to say, I've really enjoyed this.
Yes, very enjoyable.
Great.
Very enjoyable.
Thanks very much for listening to our first show back, and thank you for all the support. Genuinely, over the last couple of months, we've been absolutely bowled over by it, and we are delighted to be back broadcasting again. Second captains is the phrase. I remember that. Thanks, Mark.
Good, really. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken. Mark, Simon.
From Ireland, Second Captain Show.
Second Captain Show.
Yeah. It's the best thing in the world for you, because it's full of protein.
This is not a dig at football people who know the game.
No respect, no honour.
Put your respect on my name.
Dog shit's a bad home.
But who plays rugby?
I imagine it was like something you would expect to see in a porno movie.
No, they don't.
But they do.
Sorry,
on. I do not.
Shut up, the two of you. I just want to play commentary at a go.
Fan up and I'll go! Fan
up and I'll go! English doesn't
work.
I'm a little bit of an idealist. But having said that, I want to be like Nick.
You get the ball forward, you compete, you chase people, you close people down. You create excitement. You win balls when you shouldn't win balls. You commit yourself to the game.
Okay. Take an L deep breath there. This is good and this is meant to happen, okay? Perfect timing.
It's the first of the month, and you know what that means, don't you? You're going to hear me give it the big one about why this is the best time to sign up to the Second Captain's World Service, because you get your full month's value out of your €5 plus VAT. But it's not just this month you're signing up for. No.
Yeah, okay, we get the picture.
No. Oh, Murph, I didn't know you were there. How are you?
Giving it the big one. It's giving it the big one. You can't say giving it the big. Even Frank Lampard said giving it the big one. Anyway,
sounds a bit too, giving it the big one. Yeah. Okay. So it's not just this month you're signing up for. You're in fact, no. You're signing up to the entire, to the entire back catalogue, all 2005 episodes of it. You guys probably know we're celebrating hitting that 2000 mark with a series of big interviews. This week, it was Greg Louganis, one of the greatest Olympians of all time, who was involved in one of the most amazing Olympic moments of all time. He'd already been one of the superstars in LA in 1984 when he won gold in both of his diving events in front of an adoring home crowd. And he did it again in Seoul in 1988 when he managed to recover from the not insignificant matter of splitting his head open off the diving board to win gold in both events again, becoming the first and to this day the only male diver ever to sweep those events in back-to-back Olympics. Here's Greg telling us about getting back up there after his fall to try to qualify for the final.
You know, when I got up on the board, I remember setting the fulcrum and then they announced my dive, which was a reverse 1.5 or 3.5 twist, which was in the same direction. And I could hear an audible gasp from the audience and because they were afraid for me. And I took a deep breath and I patted my chest. And the people in the vicinity who saw that started chuckling because, oh, my God, you know, it was like they were saying, oh, my God, you know, he's afraid, too. And I started laughing and I was like, oh, my God, you know, because all of these people are in my corner. And they want to see me succeed. And I was at the Olympic Games and I can't hold back, you know, so I've got to go for it. And yeah, so then I did the next dive, and I think it was the highest scoring dive of that Olympic Games.
Amazing stuff there. Greg also told us about the HIV diagnosis that he'd had only a few months previously. So that was all going around in his head as well. He didn't know. He was, as he said himself, paralyzed with fear as to what his responsibilities were. He didn't know if the blood in the water could be a danger to anybody else, and all sorts of things were going on. But I just absolutely loved that moment between him and the crowd, Murph, where you see this like iconic athlete, and he was really one of the most famous sports people in the world at that point. And he's obviously just, the humanity comes out when he's up there, and the crowd see he's nervous. He notices the crowd, probably never notices the crowd usually, I'm guessing, because of the tunnel vision and so on. Everything's just gone out of whack, but then he notices that they notice that he's nervous, and there's just a little bit of almost crack between them. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still completely agog at that moment, his reaction, you know, it being like the best dive of his career, effectively, or the best dive of the entire Olympic meet, one of the best dives of his career, with all of that. Like, the next time someone tells me about a rugby player or a Gaelic footballer or a hurler, you know, showing, you know, massive balls in a particular moment, you know, like unbelievable nerve and conviction, I'm just going to have it in my head that, yeah, that was great, but was it Greg Louganis at the Seoul Olympics of 1988? You know, like, it's going to be...
You're judging everybody by a high bar.
Like... Yeah. Well, yeah, but I mean, the fact of the matter is, this is still the one of the most ridiculously pressurized moments the most ridiculously pressurized moment I've ever heard a sports person face down and absolutely defeat, wipe the floor with. Yeah, just crazy, crazy moment.
Real pleasure to have Greg Louganis as part of our celebrations. Republic of Ireland coverage. It wasn't too much to celebrate there with the Ireland team. The effects of the Luxembourg defeat rumbled on through the week on the World Service. It was one of Stephen Kenny's predecessors who ended up getting talked about almost as much as Kenny himself. For somebody who claims to hate talking about Martin O'Neill, Ken ends up talking about Martin O'Neill quite a lot. In this case, in fairness to him, it started elsewhere on the airwaves of BBC Radio 5 Live, no less. So this is what got us into talking about it on the World Service. Ken had gone toe-to-toe with Chris Sutton, with Chappers, Micah Richards and Rory Smith all listening. And this actually happened. This was over on BBC.
That's not working, this fantasy football, is it? All this expansive game, 3 goals, 10 games?
I mean, was he still better than...
I'm not giving Stephen Kenny a kicking here. I'm just saying it's easy to look back and say, well, these guys, Mick McCarthy, Martin O'Neill, well, they were dinosaurs. Well, you look back to Euro 2016, one of the great memories in Irish football. Who was the boss then? Martin O'Neill. And getting the best out of pretty run-of-the-mill players.
We're just sitting back and really enjoying this.
I just got some popcorn here. This is fantastic.
I can't listen to this rubbish talked about.
I can't sit and listen, and then
you're praising somebody who's come in, who's had a record which is absolutely disastrous, and then you're saying, well, this is okay. But Chris, just have a bit of balance, Ken.
Martin O'Neill's record in the last year.
He got two Euros.
He got to Euros by finishing third in a group.
Hang on a minute. Did he get to the Euros? Did he get to the Euros, Ken?
He got to the 2014 Euros, yes. Euros by finishing third.
He got to the Euros.
A weak group.
Do you think you're going to get to the Euros with Stephen Kenny, Ken?
Well, I mean, he'd have to be in charge for the next Euros. I mean, we did have a playoffs to get to the Euros thanks to finishing bottom of the Nations League under Martin O'Neill. You know, literally, we finished bottom of the group. Did we score a goal? Maybe we scored one goal against Wales.
Yeah, and you've scored three this year. But Martin O'Neill has a history and a record with Ireland. Stephen Kenny doesn't.
We kept hearing about the record. We kept hearing about the two European Cups. And then we kept hearing about the great players we used to have. But we couldn't do it. But yeah, for some reason, he was still there. You know, he was still managing the team while telling us, oh, you know, these players aren't good enough. So yeah, maybe Stephen Kenny's sweet talked us into, you know, saying, well, look, maybe we are capable of kicking snow off a rope here, lads. You know, let's give it a go. You know, and maybe he's now a victim of like having spoken positively about it. But I think anyone looking at it reasonably, he didn't have an axe to grind, who wasn't sort of trying to make Martin O'Neill's record, like losing 5-1 to Denmark, in a playoff or finishing bottom of the nation.
I remember the game well.
There's been some pretty unusual circumstances here. You know, this guy's had to deal with, how can you judge his work until he's at least had the opportunity to be booed off by the Irish fans?
Ken, thank you very much for coming on. As I say, I quite often quote your article, so thank you actually for coming on and standing up to Grumpy Chops in the corner. It's been much appreciated. Thank you.
Absolute pleasure to talk to everyone, especially Chris.
Cheers, Ken.
So, highly entertaining, no doubt, but that left Ken with the annoying feeling you get when you have an argument you weren't expecting to have. He's going in there talking about Stephen Kenny. He ends up talking about Martin O'Neill, and as soon as he hangs up, he starts thinking of all the things he should have said.
Yeah, all of the annoying things about Martin O'Neill's management of the Irish football team come to Ken after that moment.
But that's what the World Service is for. Ken, to spew out all those thoughts.
Here we are once again. We failed to win a game. 11 matches without a win. I've had a few people reminding me, Martin O'Neill only beat Germany, you know. Martin O'Neill still the only manager, though, even after last night, who I can remember being thanked by his opposite number for playing so dramatically into his hands. Sorry, have I got?
You're into Martin O'Neill again, Ken. I mean, was the Bosnia manager thanking Martin O'Neill for knocking him out of the Euro playoffs? Was the Wales manager saying thanks very much for coming, storming Fortress Cardiff and winning the game? Was the Austrian manager thanking Martin? Yeah, and so on.
No, it was the Norwegian
manager.
Let's
not get it.
It was the Norwegian manager who I think.
No, that's my point. I mean, the managers who were vanquished by Martin O'Neill certainly weren't thanking him.
Didn't he? He was like Martin O'Neill's lodger or something back in the day.
That's right. Yeah. No. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
But it sounded as though, and they were supposed to be very friendly, but then it kind of sounded as though there may have been some tension over.
Listen,
like, who was eating the cheese.
Chris isn't on the line, Ken. Yeah. Chris Sutton isn't on the line. So can we just get back? Can we just all the shit you could have said on Monday night that you didn't say? So that's
thank you very much for giving Ericsson all that space. Sorry.
Like I said, for somebody who doesn't like talking about Martin O'Neill. Anyway, let's go on.
He just kept drifting back. Like that was one time. It happened a couple other times as well, I think, throughout the course of the week. Just random Martin O'Neill mentions in the middle of seemingly.
You guys know I don't like talking about Martin O'Neill, right? Yes, Ken, we don't actually have to talk about Martin O'Neill, but we seem to be doing it once again. Champions Cup knockout game against the French league leaders is what Munster have in store this weekend. They're also 20 times French champions, 3 times Heineken Cup winners. Toulouse, this is what I'm talking about. They have probably the best player in the world in Antoine Dupont at the moment. Probably the second best player in the world, arguably anyway, in Cheslin Kobe. But fear not, Munster fans. There is a blueprint for victory.
Contepomi, there's a player flat on his feet. Here goes Dennis Hickey. He has a man behind him in the shape of Gordon Darcy. Hickey runs like Linford Christie. He has support. Leicester have the numbers. Darcy, Hickey. Hickey for the corner. Dennis Hickey. He's in. It's a try. It's a try for Leicester. It's a try. 24 minutes played in the second half.
Just got to run like Linford Christie, Murph. Run like Linford Christie. Forget about any of your fancy plays. I'm hearing a lot of people saying, oh, what are we going to see from Stephen Larkham? Is the playbook going to get opened up? Are they going to play expansive rugby? Well, yeah, expansive in the sense of get it to your fastest guy. Get him. Give it to Earlsey. Let him run. Yeah.
Have you tried running faster?
Okay, loads of rugby coverage on. I'm mixed up on days, Murph. What day is it today?
Today's Thursday. I'm always here to help. Yeah.
The rugby podcast with Andrew and Shane is out today previewing those matches. Mm-hmm. So have a listen to that. And then tomorrow it's a Ken Early politics podcast for a little change of pace. So loads of great stuff going on, and the 2000 podcast celebrations, which will continue over the next few weeks as well. And did I mention it's the first of the month? It's the first of the month.
Literally couldn't. You couldn't be choosing a better time to join us. So please join us.
SecondCaptains.com. Thanks, Kieran.
Thank you, Owen.
Thanks very much for this.
Hickey runs like Linford Christie.
Which one is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's World Service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's to persuade there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Mom
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.